from the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Now, I have to admit, my knowledge of Manitoba is not that extensive, and that's why I will always eternally be grateful to Gordon Goldsborough. And today's a case in point when I thought the Honey Wagon Shack has something to do with honey. Let's go straight to Gordon and he will tell us more. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, I said that our story would be set in Brandon and it had to do with wagon loads of honey, but not the kind produced by bees. And of course, I was referring to a honey wagon, which for some people that might convey thoughts of sweetness and things.
Well, but, yes, it has honey written on it. You can't blame me for thinking that.
Well, I think simply because otherwise, if you knew what it actually was, it might not be quite so pleasant thinking. So no, a honey wagon is a euphemism for a vehicle that collects and transports sewage.
So like the opposite of honey, basically,
yes,
is what we're talking
much.
About. Okay, let's start talking about this. Who uses honey wagons?
Well, today, I mean, they are used today. Farmers use them to collect manure from their livestock and in some cases to spread that manure on their farm fields as a form of fertilizer. People like me, who live in places that are not served by municipal sewer lines, we depend on a visit periodically from the honey wagon to collect the sewage that is in a tank buried in our yards. And in the old days, when nobody had municipal sewer lines to their homes, well, then pretty much everybody here in Winnipeg, you know, people in Brandon, you know, larger centers, they depended on the visits from the honey wagon that would go door to door picking up sewage.
So where would they take the sewage?
Well, that's an interesting question. In the early days, the system for collecting the sewage, the honey wagons, were pretty primitive, but the systems for treating that sewage were basically non-existent. Manitobans subscribed to the philosophy that the solution to pollution is dilution. In other words, if you dump raw sewage into a river, it'll be diluted in enough water that it's not a problem. You know, and so for decades, Manitobans used the provincial rivers as sewage disposal systems. You know, so for people living, for example, in Brandon, they would dump their sewage into the Assiniboine River. And the irony is that that's the same river they got their drinking water from. Now, fortunately, the drinking water intake was upstream of the sewage outfall, you know, so there was no potential for mixing. But on the other hand, that sewage would then flow downstream, and the city of Portage la Prairie, well, they had their drinking water intake from the river, and then they would dump their sewage downstream of that. Well, of course, inevitably, there's potentially some possibilities for overlap there. And then in Winnipeg here, we did the same thing. We would draw our drinking water out of the river and dump it into the river downstream. So, you know, as you might imagine, the result were quite a few waterborne illnesses for things like typhoid. Typhoid is caused by exposure to contaminated water, contaminated by things like sewage. And these were pretty common. You know, so in the early 20th century, numerous people would contract typhoid. You know, we tend to think of it today as sort of a symptom of poor sanitation. You know, if you're economically disadvantaged and you can't have, you know, proper drinking water supplies, you get typhoid. Well, back then, because pretty much everybody drank water out of the river, you know, even the elite. You know, so one of the things that has always struck me as ironic is that there was a fellow in early 20th century Winnipeg named Edgar Kenrick. And he has a lot of things that are noteworthy about him, but one of them is that he drove Manitoba's first automobile. But in addition to that, his job was that he was Winnipeg's water testing scientist. He would collect samples of the river, testing it for safety. Well, he in fact died of typhoid himself, you know, contracted from the Assiniboine River.
Now, where does the abandonment part come into this story?
Well, if you go to Brandon, on a site overlooking the Assiniboine River on the very east side of town, in fact, at the very end of Rosser Avenue, if you get on Rosser Avenue and go all the way to the very end, you'll find a small wooden building. Right overlooking the river, it's covered in corrugated metal panels on the outside. Inside, it's got a concrete floor. And if you go into that little building, at the very back, there is a large hole in that floor. If you follow that hole down into the ground and actually see where it ends up at a pipe discharging right into the Assiniboine River. So what would happen is basically is that the city of Brandon had a fleet of honey wagons. This goes right, I mean, way back to the beginnings of Brandon. Initially, they were pulled by horses. Later, they would be motorized. And basically, they'd go door to door picking up sewage. And then they'd come out to this little building. They would back into it. They would probably open some kind of tap that would start the contents of the tank flowing into this hole. Above the hole, there was a large tank filled with river water they would use to sort of flush the contents down. And all of this raw sewage, I mean, raw, completely untreated sewage, goes right down this pipe and flows right into the Assiniboine River. And of course, once the tank is empty, the honey wagon would head off back to Brandon to pick up more sewage. And so this site was the place where raw sewage went into the Assiniboine.
When was the honey wagon shack used?
Well, I haven't been able to determine the exact history of this particular building. I'm guessing that it would be somewhere around the beginning of the 20th century. But the practice of collecting sewage, say, goes right back to the beginnings of Brandon in the 1880s. You know, they would have had to have a system of sewage collection. You know, everybody in Brandon used what they called outdoor closets, kind of a euphemism. What it really was an outdoor toilet, kind of like an outhouse or a biffy. And then these honey wagons would go and pick up the contents of these outdoor toilets. But they began to upgrade the system. So, for example, in the 1890s, they began to install underground sewer lines in the downtown business area. They extended these sewer lines out into the residential areas through the 1930s. But, you know, typhoid was a perennial problem in Brandon, in Winnipeg, in anywhere where this practice occurred. So, for example, in 1904, the city of Brandon reported 164 cases of typhoid in a 3.5 month period. You know, in just 3.5 months, 164 cases. Well, today, I would be hard pressed to say there were any cases of typhoid. I mean, we've got to that level of sanitation. But back then, it was a fairly common thing. And the city council said, no, this is crazy. We can't let this continue. So they hired a local doctor to investigate. And what he recommended was the elimination of these outdoor closets, these outdoor toilets. But the practice of dumping raw, untreated sewage into the Assiniboine River continued in Brandon until they developed a modern sewage treatment system. And that began in the 1940s. You know, so it hasn't been that very long that they've had modern sewage treatment, you know, and in fact, even today, that modern sewage treatment plant still discharges its treated sewage into the Assiniboine River. So in a very real sense, the solution to pollution is still dilution.
Can listeners see the honey wagon shack?
Yeah, absolutely. Retired Brandon teacher and environmentalist Dave Barnes and his neighbor, a fellow named Don Ditchfield, have created a self-guiding nature trail through a very nicely treed 40-acre site there overlooking the Assiniboine River. It's called the Assiniboine Food Forest. You know, it begins on Ditchfield's property, and there he has a recreation of a 1950s ice cream parlor in amongst a whole bunch of antiques in something he calls Crow's General Store. And from there, you walk along a nice little trail. It's got 10 sites along it. And, well, in fact, Barnes's property he calls the Trees Blood Farm because every spring he makes maple syrup using the local maple trees, you know, Trees Blood. And along this trail, you see all kinds of things, including the honey wagon shack. The trail is open from sunrise to sunset every day, and everybody is more than welcome to visit. There is more information if you're interested in finding out more about it on their website at assiniboinefoodforest.ca.
It never ceases to amaze me how you can make pretty much anything so interesting. And this is a great example of that, making sewage interesting. Gordon, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Nadja.
What's the clue for next week?
Well, we seem to be in the election season right now. We've just finished a provincial election. We are coming up to a federal election. All of this election reminded me of the election of 1920 in Manitoba. And there were at least three noteworthy occurrences that took place during that election. It was the first one in which a woman was elected. Among those others who were elected were three convicted criminals. And a third interesting detail about the election is that it involved a now abandoned system of voting that would define Manitoba elections for the next 38 years.
Looking forward to it, especially the scandalous part with the criminals. Oh my goodness. Gordon, thank you so much.
We'll see you next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.